Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, February 7th, 2013. Well, by simply looking at one of J. Douglas Thompson's painting, one can feel the wind against their face or the texture of the ground, be it stone or earth under their feet. Doug's larger scale paintings, often on canvas or masonite board, depict the textures of the land, whether it's found along the north shore of Lake Superior, the west coast of Vancouver Island, or the high country far above the tree line in the Rockies. And we're going to talk to him about his art in a few moments. But before we get to our interview, let's listen to A Full Heart from Jay Calder's Breakfast with Barnabas CD. Now to our interview with J. Douglas Thompson. Good evening, Doug.
Hi, how are you?
Not bad. Let's go back to the beginning, because some of our listeners might not know who you are and know a bit about you. How did you get started in painting?
Actually, I grew up with a history of painting in my background. My great-grandfather was an artist, painted in Scotland, had a gallery in Scotland, and my father was a painter. Also a part-time painter, and at the age of 12 I started to push paint around a bit, and moved from Alberta to Toronto, where I was able to then take a vocational art course through high school, which was 4 years, 30 periods a week, 5 different art teachers a day, so we were able to get right at it.
So did your grandfather and your father have any kind of influence on you then as a painter?
I would say no, not particularly, excuse me. just other than it was always from the time I was 9, 10, sitting there watching my father paint was always a inspiration, and it certainly cemented in my mind that that was something I wanted to pursue.
So when you're looking at that and pursuing it and going through this vocational art program in Toronto, what was it that attracted you, especially to painting and the visual arts?
It seemed like it was something embedded in my being, in my soul. I just always wanted to express myself from an early age, and it just started to happen. Wasn't something that was cognitive. It just happened. I started to draw. I started to paint when I was young, and as the process continued, you learn various techniques and you grow little bit by little bit. And It's just been an ongoing journey since that point for close to 50 years, I guess.
So as you were developing in that, who have been some of the influences that that there have been on your painting?
I'd say that in the last 15 to 20 years, I have been primarily interested in doing atmospherics, which would be primarily representative as large cloudscapes. And the artist that really I was attracted to is an artist from the States called Eric Sloan. And he is no longer with us, passed away a few years ago, but was a very strong painter in cloudscapes, and both painted in the West as well as in the East. And his material was something that attracted me, and sort of used that as a foundation for some of the stuff I'm doing now.
Was there anybody that sort of went back when you were in high school and as you were developing as a painter at that level, was there anybody that you found as a particular interest, influence as well?
Well, I've always been interested in the Wyeth group, Andrew Wyeth, his father, who was a great illustrator, that they were people that I certainly was interested in, followed, went to some shows, saw their work. I've gone down several times to their studio in Pennsylvania and looked their work. When I was young, had the opportunity to travel an awful lot to Europe, spent a fair amount of time in the Impressionist galleries there. So all of the Impressionists were an influence, although my work doesn't reflect that in any way. Just it was wonderful to be surrounded by that kind of quality art. And then if you go back to the old masters, you know, everything from Michelangelo to Rembrandt to Leonardo and so forth, having spent time in Italy and the various museums of Europe, it's a privilege to stand in front of their work.
When you're looking at all of that, and especially when you're looking at some of the masters and some of the spiritual themes that are coming through their paintings and that, how did your own spiritual life sort of develop or mature as you were developing yourself as a painter, as an artist?
Yeah, I became a Christian at the age of 9 years of age, at that particular point in my life, I chose to give my life fully to Jesus Christ, and so that has always been a foundational influence on who I am and what I do and how I try to express myself. And so there's always a theme of hope that I'm trying to bring in, especially now, although there's been a series of things in my life which have challenged that, as most people in the faith journey have challenged it. But I do attempt to in some of the metaphors that are presented through painting the natural world, try to reflect and mimic the hand of God, in the sense that He is the Creator God, and all we do is recreate, all we do is mimic what He's presented for us. But in some way that hopefully is enough of an influence to stop people in their tracks from time to time and make them aware that
right.
Things that are around that they not necessarily would otherwise notice.
Sort of that co-creator, sub-creator context that artists often look at.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's from where I sit and look at the cosmos, we definitely are not the ultimate individually, the whole thing of creation is there, and actually is the signpost to God, to the Creator.
Uh-huh.
Romans 1:20 talks an awful lot about that.
Now, you've also spent time in a commercial setting, in advertising and promotion. Has developing art and designing art in a commercial setting influenced what you do and how you do it?
Well, once again, that was a wonderful venue to be able to each day get up and to have a blank canvas, so to speak, blank piece of paper. Nowadays, a blank screen on your computer to attempt to portray some sort of story, give some sort of solution to somebody's commercial problem, and in through a graphic or through a means whereby a story is told. And so there's a lot of interplay between fine art and commercial art. One, of course, is, I mean, if you go back to the old masters, their paintings were, of course, commercial art. They were hired by the, in many cases, the church back then, but they were basically illustrators and were taking direction from a client. And so in that sense, commercial art also is certainly an art form and has many, many aspects to it.
Mm-hmm.
And good design, good typography, good layout and so forth have very similar compositional structures to them as painting. And I won't get into too much controversy here, but that is something of what we've lost in recent years in just having machines in front of us without necessarily having a strong design background.
Right. Well, what I need to do is take a quick break and continue our conversation with visual artist Doug Thompson. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station. Back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to the second quadrant from Jay Calder's Breakfast with Barnabas CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with painter Doug Thompson. Doug, sort of going back to our conversation just before the break and that whole difference between commercial art and art, do you ever find that there's a tension between sort of that creating art on demand, like a client comes and says, this is what I need, compared to when you sit down to do one of your paintings, and that's more coming out of something that you've been inspired by? Is there a tension there between those two elements?
Yeah, absolutely. There are. If I'm painting something that I've been inspired by, then it really does reflect a little bit of my heart, my soul. And that part of me is sort of left on the canvas. When I do a commission, that still occurs because I try to do as good a job as possible. But very often there's a predisposition to some sort of almost like buying art by committee, because there's two or three people involved and they each have their own subjective ideas of what they might like color-wise or whatever the image might be, and so. You end up, it's a little bit more contrived, and so I think, depending on, I just finished a commission actually the other day, which which didn't work that way. The client basically gave me full freedom to the only thing that she had in mind was a color palette she'd seen in the previous painting that I'd done and wanted me to follow that. But other than that, that's free rein. But in other cases, it's been somewhat restrictive.
Uh-huh. Well, I've had a chance to see your paintings. We were at the Imago 40th anniversary event, and a lot of what you do is in sort of a large format, and it's like your blog where you describe yourself as a painter of majestic cloudscapes and textured rock faces. What drives you or inspires you to paint these type of images in particular?
Well, first of all, I grew up out west, and so I have embedded in my brain this idea, this feeling of wide open spaces, of big country, of vastness, and so that does come across. There's a number of metaphors that usually show up in my work. One is darkness to light. Usually I have pretty stormy clouds, which reflect the struggles of life that all of us have faced in one way or the other. And then trying to introduce a good, strong light source within that context to give the idea of hope. I often also have the metaphor of two or three trees in a very rugged kind of situation, hanging on the side of a cliff or alone in a very large landscape, and the whole thing of, once again, challenges of life that we face. The idea that these trees have put their roots down into very difficult places, have persevered, have endured, and have come out with something that is very interesting and has lots of character because of the challenges that they faced. And those are the sort of iconic images that, if we're looking at a white pine, windswept white pine in Georgian Bay, that would be the kind of thing that we're attracted to. But in an awful lot of difficulty to come up with that particular shape.
You're talking, Alberta, I'm thinking of some of the lodgepole pine that I've seen, you know, the towering the towering pine, and sometimes at the top is bare, are bare limbs.
Yeah, where the wind has just stripped it bare and certainly bent it in wherever the prevailing winds are going. It's bent it that way.
Well, give us a little bit of an idea of how your process goes, like sort of how you get a painting started and developing it, and sort of when you get to that point where you, I don't think as artists we ever think the work we do is finished, but we have to put it out there at some point. So we get to that point where we say, well, this is where it has to be. And so sort of walk us through that process a little bit.
Yeah, I do, you know, over the years done lots of hiking and enjoy that process of being outside and love photography, so I often take photographs, but I never copy my photographs in my painting, but I will often take an element from a photograph and use it as a reference point. Most of my work is just sitting there in my right brain, and from, I have this sort of ability that I can sort of photograph in my mind images that I see, and they just seem to stay there. And so I can pick up images over the years and make up paintings from all that information. But technically, I use acrylic primarily. I started with watercolor and I've moved primarily to acrylic. I paint, like you say, large format often, 48-72, 48-60, that kind of sort of size. And because it lends itself to, once the stuff I'm painting with large, vast landscapes, there are, in any given painting, a wide variety of techniques and a wide variety of brushes and materials that I use to come up with different looks. And most of that stuff has been material that since high school, that I've been self-taught in many ways and learned along the way. And one thing leads to another, and you grow in that regard.
You know, I look at the paintings, and I'm thinking, you know, they almost have to be large format because the landscapes that you're doing and the way you're depicting the sky and stuff like that. I couldn't see that in like a little 10 by 14. It almost has to be that large format.
For the impact that I hope to achieve, I agree with that. Although I do lots of little studies that are, you know, 10 by 14, like you say, or whatever.
Well, how long does it take you to do one of your paintings?
My gallery directors always tell me never to answer that question. 40 years and 3 months. And but, you know, to be frank, I've got usually 5 or 6 on the go at any given time, and they are anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks that I'm working on them. And, of course, they can be sitting around here for 2 or 3 months because I'm working in and out of different paintings.
Right. Well, we need to take a final break, and after that, we'll come back and wrap up our conversation with visual artist Doug Thompson. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station. Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to A Spacious Place from Jay Calder's Breakfast with Barnabas CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with the artist and painter, Doug Thompson. Looking at this, one of the things that that people could do if they're interested in finding more about you is looking at your blog, which is really appropriate. It's bigskypainter.blogspot.ca. One of the things I notice is some of the blogs that you have take the form of poetry. And I'm just sort of wondering, you know, how did you get into doing poetry at the same time as the painting, or does one play off the other?
They do play off each other. Interesting that I started to write when I was back in high school, same time as I started to paint. And then I went through a long period of that I struggled with depression, and that whole area of expression got put on the shelf. And it's only been in the last year and a half, approximately, a little bit less than that, actually, that I've started to write again. And so, really, my writing is just another expression of, once again, challenges of life that I see, not only in my own life, but in people's lives generally. And once again, try to reflect something of that journey, but also try to reflect that there is hope, and hope specifically in Jesus Christ. And despite the challenges that we face, He has given us hope, not only for the future, but for now.
And looking at that, and looking at the paintings, and I can see that coming through. Like you say, there's always that source of light in there that kind of gives hope to what could be a very stormy situation.
And that's sort of interesting because if you saw my paintings 3 years ago, they would have had the same stormy clouds, but a very, very dark foreground with virtually no light in it. And that was the case for many years, actually, that I painted that way. And interestingly enough, one of my secular gallery directors keeps pushing me to bring more hope and more light into my work. So it's a little bit ironic that a non-believer is the one that's had the impetus to push me to, mm-hmm. to bring a bit more light into reality.
Yeah. Well, I know there's your blog that people can get a little more information about you. Where else can people find more about you and your work?
I have a website also, www.jdthompson.net, and there's 35 or 40 images there, and I give a little bit of bio of my background. My email address, if that's appropriate, want to connect with me, they can get that off of that website.
Any exhibits coming up in the next little while, or?
I'm represented by a number of galleries, and so I don't have any quote-unquote exhibits like the Imago event on a regular basis. I do have these galleries that represent me and show my work. And once again, in many times they're more corporate and commercial kind of galleries as compared to residential galleries, so they would place large paintings into corporate situations or very large homes up in Georgian Bay or whatever.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. But once again, if people connect to me through the website, I'd be glad to put them in touch with those galleries.
Great. Well, Doug, thank you very much for your time tonight.
Well, thank you. I appreciate this opportunity. Really good to see you and talk to you again.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection today. Thanking my guests, Douglas Thompson. Be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selav Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.